listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the American Pharmacists Association's 2024 podcast coverage of the annual meeting and exposition held on March 22nd through 25th in Orlando, Florida. This year's theme, Unleashing the Power of Pharmacy, was designed to empower pharmacists to embrace your role as change agents and help revolutionize the profession. This is the APHA Podcast Power of Pharmacy Post Show in collaboration with the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Kicking off the interviews is our APHA 2024 keynote speaker, Ryan Leek. To learn more about Ryan's leadership resources, go to ryanleek.com.
The theme of leadership is so evident at the American Pharmacists Association 2024, and we are privileged and honored to have Ryan Leek, who is exactly the right person to be here right now, because you, sir, are a leader. I mean, you're a natural leader, but you teach professionals about the importance of leadership, and you really break it down. Welcome to the APHA's 2024 post show.
APHA, that's where we at. We are right here. We are here live in Orlando, and we're having a good time.
Here we are. I want to say thank you for being here. Thanks for taking the time to be with our pharmacists. Pharmacists are the hub of healthcare.
That's right.
Share with our listeners, most of them probably pharmacists and technicians. How does leadership play into being successful in healthcare?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what business you're in. We're all in the people business. And if you don't know how to navigate human beings, you won't be successful in anything. You won't be a successful leader. You won't be a successful parent. You won't be a successful husband. If you can't be able to step back and go, all right, how can I create a better experience for someone else? I think at the essence of leadership, it's about having influence. And it doesn't mean that you're trying to gain this influence over someone, but it is about being considerate of who another person is and going, all right, how can I create an experience that is enjoyable for them, whether that's a working relationship or whether that's a personal relationship?
Ryan, is it based on inspiration? Is it based on influence? Is it based on being genuine in order to start? Because, you know, when you say the word leadership, it sounds simple, but it's a lot more difficult than what it sounds. So could you kind of break that down for our listeners?
Yeah, so I'm writing a book right now called How to Work with Complicated People.
That's an interesting.
We did a national study.
By the way, pharmacists never have complicated people to deal with.
Ever. They would never have to deal with that. So we did a national study on how to work with complicated people to get vernacular around it, to understand what people have tried before in working with complicated people. And here's what's interesting. Here's what the data would tell us about working with complicated people. 75% of working Americans believe they are less complicated than the average American.
I would say the same thing. I'm guilty of that stat.
It's just 80% of working Americans believe they're in the top 10% of their company.
Wow.
And in case you're not good at math, that's impossible. And so part of this idea of, as you said, leadership can be very, very challenging. But sometimes there can be an arrogance of like, oh, I got this. I think it's better to assume that you don't. Mm-hmm. I think it's better to assume there's something to learn here than I've got this thing figured out, because most people, statistically speaking, think way higher of themselves than is the actual reality of how other people are experiencing them.
So let's think about this: hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, specialty rare diseases. If a pharmacist, if a healthcare provider, if our technicians can't be leaders to these people that need the help in that smaller space, that one-on-one, they're not going to listen to the advice that's given to them in order to stay compliant and stay healthy. Yeah. And I think the leadership plays right into that.
So, for example, I have rarely in my lifetime, I don't want to offend any pharmacists, I just want to throw that out there. I'm just giving you my CVS pharmacy experience in Dallas, Texas. I'm just throwing that out there. I have never once heard a pharmacist start the conversation with, how are you feeling today?
Yeah.
What's your date of birth?
Yeah.
That's usually the first question.
Right.
But so again, me teaching people to smile and say, how are you feeling today? Yes, you think, oh, I can't lead this person. I'm like, well, you'd be surprised what could happen if you just, when they walk up, they've had the worst day of their life, and they're bringing it to you. You'd be surprised what can happen if you just said, hey, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Hey, how
can I help you? What can I do?
You're talking about a very impatient industry.
Yes.
It is, and it's rush, and people want their stuff fast, and they've, the pharmacist has had to deal with a ton of complicated people.
Right.
But for them to, again, to make the decision, I'm going to be the leader here. This is my pharmacy. Yep. I get to create a culture here. There could be a long line. Hey, folks, sorry about the wait, but we'll be with you as soon as we possibly can.
Right. You set with a precedent.
You have set a culture, and you have no idea how many attitudes you've diffused because you decided I'm a leader.
Yep.
And I'm going to control what I can control. They might still be angry. They might have an attitude. But to even say, hey, I know we got a little bit of a backlog right now. I can see the line. Hey, it's probably going to be about seven to 10 minutes, but please be patient with us. We can't wait to serve you.
Yep.
It's just a completely different tone, but it's most pharmacists don't think of themselves as Ritz Carlton employees. Mm-hmm. But if they did, well, we would call that a leader.
Sure.
We would call that, like, now we're thinking completely different because of, again, we're just talking about people. So it's kind of funny. I train people to be nicer. they think it's just like, you're this leadership expert. I'm like, I'm kind of a kindness expert of just being like, being considerate of another human being. It really doesn't matter what you're selling. Hey, how you feeling today?
True.
I mean, you immediately go, wait, what? Because at the heart of what we're doing in the pharmacy industry is care.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't.
Yes, I know.
Sometimes we're working so hard that we forget to do the very thing that we signed up to do in the first place.
True.
And so sometimes it takes an outside perspective like mine that's not in the pharmacy industry to go, hey, today I think we could be nicer. Yeah. Hey, today I think we could put how our day is, which could be terrible, we're putting that to the side in service of someone else.
Yep.
That's what makes you good. That's what makes someone want to come back to you and trust you as a pharmacist.
There are so many circumstances and elements of what a pharmacist in the capacity in the sector that you're talking about, which is the community sector of pharmacy, which is one of hundreds of different things that pharmacists do. But in that, that's where the stress is right now. That's where the burnout is happening. That's where a lot of our pharmacists don't want to be pharmacists. They're like, I want to get out of this community. And they may make excuses as to why they couldn't. They might listen and say, Ryan doesn't understand what we really go through, right? Yeah. But what I'm hearing you say is it doesn't matter what you're going through, the individual. You're still a care provider.
Yeah.
And we need to sometimes be the only people that are giving care when someone's standing in front of us. That's how I'm reading this.
Yeah, and I think it's just how we all respond to pressure. If you have a patient, a customer that is putting pressure on you, and you smile back, you've controlled the pressure. You say, yeah, I get it. Man, you've been sick for a while. I know this is the third prescription the doctor has provided for. You weren't even in that conversation. It really doesn't have anything to do with it. You're just fulfilling a prescription. But for you to recognize their pain, what we've learned in the research and in the data is that when a leader simply recognizes somebody's pain in any industry, that employee's productivity goes up by 63%.
Holy cow.
It's not when they fix their pain or fix their complaint. They can say, I hate this place is so toxic, and my boss is this, and my boss, blah, 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 and all of the reasons why this isn't a great place to work. But when that leader says, I get it. This is hard.
Right.
That person's productivity goes up by 63%. Just a simple recognition of what you're going through right now is hard. is actually what most of the time we're looking for. We're looking for some sort of validation that my day sucked. You go, man, your day sucked. Well, what can we do to make it better?
Yes.
Your day sucked up until you got here.
To me. And I'm going to make a difference.
And you get an opportunity to do that. I won't have time to tell this story later in the keynote, but I'll never forget going to Nordstrom one day with my son. I was there to do a return. I said, son, if you come in, he's 4 years old. I said, hey, I'll get you a toy for coming with dad. Nordstrom doesn't even really sell toys. The toy section is like really tiny. Like nobody cares. And he's like, dad, he's basically looking at me like, dad, these toys suck. This is not a toy store. I'm like, I know it's an adult store, but hey, they just pick something. Like, get this toy car. He goes, well, I want to check out the toys upstairs. And I was like, well, there are no toys upstairs. He's like, I want to check out the toys upstairs. So I pretend like I just disown him in the moment. Okay, like I just pretend like I don't even know the kid. And I just get in line, and I'll never forget the sales associate comes from around the counter, and she says, hey, little buddy, how are you? He goes, I want to go look at the toys upstairs. And she says, oh, sweetie, well, your dad's right. There are no toys upstairs. But I will tell you this. Do you want to know what we do have downstairs? He said, what? She said, balloons. Would you like a red one or a blue one?
Wow.
He said, a blue one? And she goes in the back and brings out a blue Nordstrom balloon. And now my son doesn't even want toys.
Right.
And he's going home and he's telling mom all about the balloon he got from Nordstrom. And I'm halfway home, I think to myself, Nordstrom doesn't sell balloons.
Right.
But they keep them around just in case.
That's incredible.
And so it's like, do we as leaders need to go, I know in the pharmacy world, we don't do balloon animals.
Yep.
But what if we just had just something?
Yep.
Because there's a single mom standing in line. Their kids are going crazy. Do you know what it would do for that mom to go, hey, I know it's hard in this line. Yep. I get it. Hey, buddy, would you like a balloon?
Yeah.
It's like, who does that? You do. If you decide to be a next level person. And so I tell people all around the country, it's never been easier to be next level. Mm-hmm. You just have to think of something really, really small. And that one small thing is going to make a massive difference. I can, with a 99.9% guarantee, that there has never been a child standing in line with their mom at a pharmacy that got a balloon animal.
Mm-hmm.
Until someone listened to this podcast.
Yes.
And I promise you, what that child and what that mother will say is, I have never had an experience like this at a pharmacy in my entire life. And why would I want to go anywhere else?
Yep.
So to me, it's really teaching people to be
kind.
And I don't think it's that hard. As bad of a day as I could have had, I could have had flight trouble. I could have, Lord knows what could have happened at the airport. You put all of these angry people on a metal tube and like anything could happen. But why would I take that out on you?
Right.
So it's not that what happened in my day doesn't matter. It just means if I'm deciding to be a next level leader, the minute I walked into this booth, it's about you. And it's about serving APHA.
Yes.
To the best of my ability. Regardless of what happened yesterday, regardless of what happened last night, sure, I could make you feel bad for me because my life is so hard. But everybody's got it difficult. Yep. And I think when in the industry that we have chosen to be in, which is the service industry, we are trying to be of service to other people. Yep. And I think when we do that, it just makes a world of a difference.
That simple exercise.
Yeah.
Just asking somebody how they're doing, slowing down.
Isn't it funny? Like, hey guys, I got a great idea. Okay? I'm gonna blow your mind. Ask people how they're doing. They're like, what?
What?
What? What do you want us to do? What? I mean, it's not rocket science. Like, it's not PhD level. It's like, but it really is. You realize how much we don't ask each other.
Right.
Hey, how are you feeling today? They're in line because they feel crappy. They're not in line if they feel good.
Right.
So you get to have the opportunity to be the one breath of kindness in their life that they might have all day long.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ryan, how do we get a hold of you? How do listeners tap into to your whole philosophies and things that you're doing in your books and things like that?
Totally. RyanLeake.com has all things Ryan Leake. I also send out an encouraging and inspiring text message every single week. You can just text APHA, if you want, to 469-809-1201. You really could text anything, and you're going to get an automatic reply that says, welcome to Ryan's text messages. And every single week, I just try and encourage people there. And anything pertinent that's going on in my career or new studies or anything that we've done will come through that medium. And then I'm on social media everywhere, TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram. X, the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
And Facebook, you name it, we're there. So, Ryan Leake everywhere.
Thank you.
I also tell people I'm Ryan Leake on Venmo in case they just want to slide something to me, but
money.
That's unnecessary. I'm good. Yeah.
This has been very, very special to us. I really appreciate you spending time with us down at the APHA's podcast, being here for us.
Of course.
And for our pharmacists and our leaders in pharmacy and soon to be more leaders in pharmacy just by asking the simple question. So how are you feeling? How are you doing today?
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I love it.
Our next guest is John Kennedy, who will share insights on cannabinoid receptors. These receptors have been implicated in diverse physiological and pathophysiological roles in the body, including regulation of mood, appetite, pain sensation, vascular and non-vascular smooth muscle tone, and immune function. CBD products impact these receptors. A Gallup poll reported that 14% of U.S. adults personally used cannabis in 2019, with a 50% increase over the past 4 years. Pharmacists are the best providers to inform our consumers about these substances. The APHA's most attended session covered cannabinoid pharmacology. Hundreds of pharmacists visited the Charlotte's Web booth after the session to discuss key issues like hemp quality control, safety profiles, product selection, and patient support. Here's our interview with Charlotte's Web ECS Distribution CEO, John Kennedy.
APHA 2024, my next guest. I'm excited about this interview. Mr. John Kennedy with Charlotte's Web and being part of Charlotte's Web here at the exhibits. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So we work with Charlotte's Web. We're getting prepared for a campaign that's going to involve multiple podcasts. But being here at the APHA, why did Charlotte's Web invest in coming to the APHA?
Sure. The biggest reason is that pharmacists care about the pharmacology of cannabinoids more than anyone else that we work with. We, of course, work with multiple channels, but pharmacists, they want to make sure that they understand how this works. They want to make sure that they're aware of all contraindications with cannabinoids and other prescription medications, and they're willing to listen to their patients and customers to make sure that they understand what's best for them. We don't see any other businesses in any other channels that care nearly as much as pharmacists do.
So pharmacists are that responsible party, that responsible provider to keep people safe. Tell our listeners, mostly pharmacists, but also technicians, what do they need to know right out of the gate about CBD and from a safety perspective?
Sure, yeah. The World Health Organization, they did a meta-analysis whenever CBD first became a thing in the United States, and they found that it has a great safety profile, but that doesn't mean that it's great for everybody. We have found that just because CBD is metabolized by the cytochrome P450 enzyme system, that if people are on pharmaceutical medications that are metabolized similarly, then there can be competition and things can go wrong. Generally, the safety profile is excellent as far as having a toxicity level. Some of the trials that were done with Epidiolex found that you can have up to 9 milligrams of CBD per pound of body weight, and that won't do any damage to even people with have some sort of liver problem. So it has it's really well tolerated with most people, but that doesn't mean that it's perfectly tolerated for everybody.
All right, so if I'm a pharmacist, I really want to dive into this. What is the first steps I should be taking in learning more about the cannabinoid system?
Sure. The endocannabinoid system is part of our body, so I would think that I would give that a big boost with people who are pharmacists that are wanting to get involved to understand how the endocannabinoid system works. There's a system of receptors, and our body makes their own endocannabinoids. But whenever people are taking plant-based cannabinoids, we found that that there is quite a bit of pharmacology that's involved with how these plant-based cannabinoids work with the body. So I think that they would need to become familiar with all the cannabinoids that are unique to the hemp plant and understand how that interacts with all the different biological mechanisms in the body.
Sean, I want to thank you for being part of our post show and investing in pharmacy. This is important to us, and we want the best information available to our pharmacist and protecting public health.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you guys are here, and I find that caring is the first step to making this a success. So thank you for being here.
PharmD candidate from South College School of Pharmacy, Sarah Thompson, shares her hopes as a future pharmacist.
APHA 2024, the future of pharmacists and pharmacists upcoming. We are here with Sarah Thompson, future Dr. Thompson. Welcome to the APHA's coverage, or the at PPN's coverage of the APHA 2024.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So talk to us about your aspirations in pharmacy and what sector you want to go into.
Okay, yeah, so I'm currently a pharmacy student. I'll be graduating May of 25. I'm currently in the process of looking at fellowships. I'm hoping to land a job in industry one day. I specifically like medical affairs and clinical research, but then I think my dream one day is to go and give back and do pharmacy education.
Great. So medical science liaison for like either a pharma company or a tech company?
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
What school are you going to?
South College School of Pharmacy in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Very cool. All right. So Dr. Chloe Givens is one of our hosts, and she helped us to design the NAPLEX podcast. And I'm pretty sure that's where she went to school.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure. She would have graduated 3 or 4 years ago.
And
I'll have to ask her.
It's a 3-year program, so I wouldn't know her then.
All right. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. But it sounded like that school. So is this your first APHA?
Yeah.
So what's this been like for you?
This has been exciting. We just got here and checked in, and it's been a little overwhelming. It's already huge.
Yeah, it really is. There are companies here that you should be introducing yourself because of wanting to be in industry and what they expect from pharmacists in education to physicians, providers, nurses, the importance of communication. There is a company over in the Digital Health RX organization. It's the digital health over there. It's called Pearls. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Derek invented the Pearls system. I want you to go introduce yourself to him. But knowing a little bit about everything will really help you as a MSL to really leverage what's going on in the industry. You kind of have to be a Swiss Army knife when you get into that.
No, and I think, so I actually went into a PhD program before I came to pharmacy school. And so I started that, and I was doing biochemistry and biophysics, and that's where I got really into research and science. And then I kind of missed patients and working with people. I felt really disconnected, and that's why pharmacy made more sense.
That's great.
And so hopefully with a strong science background, somebody might want me.
Well, we will be watching your career. Please stay in touch with Pharmacy Podcast Network and obviously the APHA.
Yeah.
Are you part of the student chapter group?
Very good. I'm actually vice president of patient care for my chapter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, that's the leadership that we're looking for. We actually just interviewed Ryan Leake, who was a keynote speaker on leadership.
Yeah.
And that is so important to have leadership responsibilities in your associations.
Okay.
So that's great. Well, thank you for sharing.
Of course. Thank you.
Hey, I was saying to my colleague, Kevin Jones, who's here with me at the APHA 2024, that when I come here, I don't care about the superstars or the movie stars. I'm caring about the stars of pharmacy. And Walter, you are the Fit Pharmacist on Instagram. What is your handle again?
It's My Fit Pharmacist. That's MYPHIT and pharmacist.
What is it about your personality that you're so magnetic to the pharmacy industry and pharmacist in general? You're funny as hell. I love your comedy. But what do you think it is that people kind of flock to?
Oh, wow, you're really buttering me up right now. Well, I mean, I'm just being me, you know, just, you know, people like engaging content, so I just try to mix it up with, you know, some humor and some and pharmacy information and health information as well. So I think the mixture just works pretty well.
What sector of pharmacy are you in right now? Are you in community?
Yes, community pharmacy, yeah.
And what sector of pharmacy are you most interested in? Or is it something that you're going to pass through community, go to something else? Or what's on your career agenda? What do you want to do?
No, it's just community. I like doing PSAs, you know, informing the public about different things that are going on in the pharmacy world. I felt that we didn't have much representation in the social media space, so it's kind of just building a lane for us pharmacists to kind of represent ourselves on social media.
What school did you go to?
Texas Southern University.
Texas.
Houston, Texas.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I have followed you for about 3-4 years, and once again, not only is the content funny, but it's literally educational, and
yes,
it's, you do it in
thank
the
you.
Right way. So
thank you.
I appreciate it. So Shane Jereminski, Dr. Jereminski's here. Dr. Bled Tanoe's here. Dr. Shaw is here. Mari Shaw is here, the doctor of comedy. There's so much energy. There's so much excitement for you to be here. Every time I see you walk through the conference hall, people are kind of grabbing you for pictures. I think that means something to us because, like I said, I think these people that are our stars, we know that you're sincere, and I think that sincerity is super important.
Yes, definitely is. Even watching Shane and Maurice, they kind of gave me inspiration to get me started to where I'm at right now. So. I've been seeing more and more pharmacists get into the space that we're in right now, so I just hope more and more people are doing it and, you know, have more representation for our profession.
When you started out with your Instagram, and it was the Fit Pharmacist, right?
Yeah.
You were really into bodybuilding and taking care of yourself and stuff, and I know that's still part of it, but guess
correct.
What? That's not really the theme per se anymore,
not at all,
is
not.
It?
I took a pivot, during COVID was my major pivot when I changed up my content. I felt that there was a lot of misinformation on social media, so I took it upon myself and to represent pharmacists to kind of give some set some light about what's going on in the pharmacy world, and that has been good so far.
The hold music in facial expression is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, I love that. That meme is very, very popular. Very, very popular.
It really is, and you keep templating it. It's almost like a template one.
The
new
one. Yeah, that one kind of just works. It just works. Just kind of works on its own.
Give the listeners once again how to follow you on Instagram. That's the main social media, right?
Correct. Yeah. So as my fit pharmacist, that's MYPHIT, and the pharmacist. That's on Instagram. I'm also on TikTok at Fit Pharmacist. That's PHIT and pharmacist. And I'm also on YouTube. Just search Fit Pharmacist on YouTube.
Ooh, I'm very proud of you, Walter. Yeah,
thanks
thank
a
you
lot.
For sharing
thank,
that.
Thanks for having me on.
Next up is Dr. Jaron Strout, the owner of Collaborative Pharmacy Consulting.
APHA 2024. You know what's fun is when you run into fellow podcasters on the exhibit floor. Dr. Jaron Strout is here with me. You're a vet. I guess we can call you a veteran podcaster.
Yeah, I like that term. Let's go with that one.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. It's great to see you here in Orlando.
Yeah, unexpected surprise to run into you.
So talk to me. You're at APHA. However, your specialty is taking care of our seniors, 65-year-olds. There's 11,000 65-year-olds now being born every month for the rest of the year. It's an explosive part of the pharmacy profession. Talk to me about the state of long-term care pharmacy.
Ooh, very good point. So you're right. Our population is aging at a rapid pace right now, and there's a lot of work to do. Right now, there's not enough providers to go around, and I'd say the typical perspective is that we should hurry and crank out as many practitioners as we can, and that meaning physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, which is what we need, obviously, because we have a shortage. But we also, as pharmacists, have an opportunity and a duty to to step in and fill that role and bridge that gap as much as we can. There are plenty of billable opportunities that we can utilize that we have not historically utilized. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this, but I started a coalition so that we could help kind of maintain some of the flexibilities that were put in place from the pandemic and make them a permanent change. Because what they've done is they've made it so that long-term care pharmacists can actually utilize Incident 2 billing without direct supervision.
Wow.
Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Incident 2 billing was used in when I worked in addiction recovery at medication-assisted centers.
There you go.
And our counselors, our nurses, and our pharmacists would work with the physician on staff and do Incident 2 billing.
Okay.
But you're saying unsupervised.
Well, it's general supervision as opposed to direct supervision.
Okay.
So, you know, direct supervision makes sense when you're working in a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
People come in and they're sick, and, you know, I shouldn't say they're not sick in a nursing home. But the problem is when you coordinate direct supervision in a nursing home, you both have to show up on the same day at the same time for the visits to take place and be billable.
Okay.
But with direct, they can just be standing off from afar and be available by phone if needed.
So talk to us about this association that you're putting together.
So I started it about a year and a half ago, I guess formally. It's Collaborative Coalition of Physicians and Pharmacists. And so I got several innovators from across the country, a few physicians as well, because I do a lot of collaboration with physicians, mm-hmm. and they see the value in what I'm doing and what I'm trying to build. And so we did a lot of work at digging through the regulations to make sure that, because there's a lot of misconception about what can be done with Incident 2.
Okay.
And so me and my attorney, Lee Davidian, she works for the attorney. She also works for ASCP now as well. We did a lot of digging. We did a lot of discussing with regulators. We confirmed that pharmacists can utilize Incident 2, as you also were aware of.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people started to raise the question, can they be auxiliary personnel? Are they even defining that? And we confirmed they are. It's been known since 2014 when CMS formally declared it publicly. And then we did some work on Capitol Hill. We had some periodic phone calls with our coalition members. And then the flexibilities started to get extended further and further, so it hasn't been an urgent thing to push for it. And we're getting a lot of steam from other professional organizations as well that see the value not in just in pharmacists, but in general, how general supervision can be utilized in nursing facilities to make it beneficial.
All right, Jaron, where's the sweet spot in treatment? And here's what I mean. I think of our seniors that are more on the sick side than the ones who are in assisted living who are doing very well, which, you know, they're basic meds. But let's talk about the ones that might have dementia or mm-hmm. some kind of serious incontinence or something that's happening that's causing them a lot of strife. Is that where the sweet spot is for Incident 2 billing?
That is a very good question. One of the issues that Chad Wurz, CEO at ASCP, has come up with is that maybe one of the things we should emphasize looking at drug-induced tardive dyskinesia, so adverse events that are occurring from drugs, side effects that are occurring, and we can kind of reverse engineer the prescribing cascade. Do you know what the prescribing cascade? Okay, so
it's just you get too many physicians getting involved, and the next thing you know, you're on 22 meds, and you should be on 8.
Yeah, so you start one med, it has 3 side effects, so then you start 3 more meds for the 3 side effects,
right.
But they also have side effects, and we're treating more, so it just cascades out. But pharmacists are really well trained to reverse engineer that. So, for instance, I found somebody who was experiencing some hallucinations and some fluid retention and some constipation. I looked at their oxybutynin. I got rid of it. I came back a month later, and I educated them. Okay, how's the constipation? So all that had resolved, and said, okay, maybe we don't need your Docusate. Maybe we don't need these 2 other meds, because oxybutynin obviously has a very high side effect profile. So we can reverse engineer the prescribing cascade just by switching oxybutynin to something with a fewer side effects.
Is it happening quickly, or is it a titration situation?
It depends on the situation, but in the tardive dyskinesia group, that's something I just barely started. We started people on, you know, one of the newer agents, Ingrezza or Austedo, and then once we get that started and get them on the appropriate dose, then we look at tapering down off of the benztropine. So,
Jaron, one of the themes at this conference this year is leadership. And I just want to commend you, and I want to applaud you that you are a leader. And that you're, I mean, sometimes we're thrusted into leadership, and it's not necessarily a choice. But when you're taking the reins like this, it's very important to start documenting what you're doing, surround yourself with people that believe in what you're doing. Pharmacy Podcast Network believes in what you're doing. So if there's any support that we can ever extend you or get you back on, I'd love to have you be part of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think just on that note, learning how to hand off and delegate is one of my biggest weaknesses that I'm learning now.
Me too. I'd rather control everything because I feel like it's getting done the right way.
And as things have grown over the last year, I have become ridiculously overwhelmed, and I'm learning that, you know what, I can't do everything.
Right.
So we need the right people. We need more people to care, and we need to start working together and start making things happen. So thank
you. I'm a documenter of this entire profession, and I can tell you that you and what you're doing is being noticed. So kudos to you.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Here's our interview with cardiology-focused pharmacist from Marshall Health, Dr. Brittany Messer.
When I come to conferences and I run into Dr. Brittany Messer, it's really special because you and I have been running into each other for like 8 years now.
Yes.
So this is, I love this. How are you?
I know, good. How are you? Always a pleasure to see you.
I know. So what's happening in your world? We're going to jump right into this. Like, talk to me about the profession of pharmacy from your perspective.
Okay, so as you remember, I'm an ambulatory care pharmacist in a cardiology setting. Never thought I'd go the academia route. I'm now joint faculty at, adjunct faculty, I guess, at both schools, the School of Pharmacy at Marshall University, as well as the physician assistant program. I also precept their students, been taking physician assistant students. So it's really cool to see that interdisciplinary aspect. I guess the latest thing going on is more of my cardiovascular research with our pharmacy residents.
Okay.
I'm super involved in the American College of Cardiology. We have a big conference coming up in a week and a half, and a poster that I submitted just to maybe get in the cardiovascular team lounge along with my resident project last year with Dr. Martha Martin, one of our last year's grads, actually placed fourth place. So now we got to give an oral presentation. Thank you. Yeah. So that's what's new. Ending a strong year with our current pharmacy residents, staying on top of anticoagulation. That's been a big thing right now with them. And yeah, that's about it since last time.
So what's the fusion of physician assistants and pharmacists? Because that seems so natural to me. Talk to us about that.
So I actually teach the pharmacology courses. I got involved, one of my colleagues, she was teaching there because her father-in-law helped found the school. My old residency director also taught there, and they needed more hands on deck, so they requested my help, and I was happy to jump aboard. So basically teaching their clinical pharmacology classes, I always tell them how in pharmacy, we always want to prepare our students for what we wish we would have known going on fourth year rotations especially. I tell them the same thing. I said, you may hate me now, but you're going to thank me later. I am very, very fortunate. In our department, they go through internal medicine specialties, and the primary preceptor, who is one of our physicians, cardiology physicians, she asked me to help her. There's a handful of us that co-precept, so I actually get to do hypertension and Coumadin clinics with them. So as we know, a big impact pharmacists can have is helping manage hypertension. We learned a lot about that at the opening sessions earlier, and that's kind of where my role comes into play. I always like to tell them, I help teach you to do the basics to prevent the big stuff in the future.
Yep.
So it's been cool, especially getting my pharmacy residents involved. They got some precepting opportunities out of it as well. So really showing what an inner collaboration can do.
You know, the public always gets the information too fast, and they don't understand it. Wegovy, Ozempic, the whole weight loss situation.
Uh-huh.
But let's talk about cholesterol for a second.
Yes.
So the public is now scared of statins because they're like, if I'm on a statin, it's not going to be eventually a good long-term play for me. But then there's the integrative approach to pharmacy to really start using natural, holistic, de-prescribing. Talk to us about that whole evolution of going from intense 22 meds versus a pharmacy that deprescribes, and now you're on 6 meds. It's more controllable. Talk to us about integrative and holistic in your programs and research.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, pharmacy has a huge role in that. One way we see that play out is identifying medication not so much errors, but interactions. Do we need to be on this? Is it appropriate? So being able to identify, is this really what we need to be on? Is there something better, like one whole drug we can be on rather than three? So de-escalation in that sense. But also a big thing for us is education, mm-hmm. not just on medications, but lifestyle modifications.
Yeah.
So that's what I preach to a lot of my patients who I help manage their lipids. Just looking at them, they're scared of the statin. Can't say that I wouldn't be too. As you mentioned, we have all the data right there in front of us. You see what the news says. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to be scared at first, but also teaching them about diet. Mm-hmm. Even if it's increasing walking down the hallway a few times a day, you don't have to get out and run a marathon immediately, but the lifestyle modifications can go a really long way. So maybe you don't have to be on that high of intensity statin. Now, I know that's not always the case,
right. But
I think educating, even to bring their fear down
yep. A
couple notches, identifying the medications that maybe we don't necessarily need to be on, de-escalating in that sense, but just providing enough education to give them a sense of peace.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brittany Messer, it's so exciting to see you again and being part of the post-show at APHA 2024. Let's stay in touch, and I want you to bring on some pharmacy students who are really interested in digging down into some of this research and come back to the show and share this research with
us. That would be wonderful. Thank you. Always good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.